I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves.
All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. We can't leave that intro on too long or YouTube is going to take our channel away. Hope everybody's doing well. It is Carolina week, but let's take a look at what just happened over this past weekend. And there's a bunch of things to talk about. First of all, the Virginia Tech game was about how, I mean, that first half was as good as I've seen an NC State team play in a long time. They gave up some points late. The score was not indicative of how much we controlled that game, and it was quite enjoyable. I really think that the defense was not used to the offense being able to score points and sort of got a little bit lackadaisical there at the end. And, you know, the offense wasn't able to sustain because they were trying to be conservative. I get it. But yeah, I mean, that was about as good as we've played in a long time, outside of a few busted plays and, you know, a little bit of lazy effort in the fourth quarter there. But to be honest, you take that because you want them to have something to focus on going into this week. If they had played perfect on both sides of the ball, then, you know, Dave would have had to drum up some nonsense for them to get motivated and not be, you know, over their skis about how good they are. But now you can kind of humble them, keep them in check. What's your takeaway from that game, Will? Will's with me as always. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You had the people sitting on the edge of their seats wondering if it was a solo pod. First things first, if you're hearing this and you don't hear any music, let us know ASAP. What did I think of that game? It was exactly like we said it was going to unfold, right? Like, I feel like I haven't nailed a prediction on a team in quite some time. In the end, optically, it should have been a much larger blowout. There were at least three interceptions dropped that should have counted. Maybe one. Actually, that did happen. That was, I couldn't believe that was considered pass interference. That was really ticky-tack. That was just really frustrating end of sequence, right? Where, I mean, Tony Gibson just does not know how to do, like, lazy drop eight sitting back. This team doesn't know how to do it. It's just so against their nature, and they just look so uncomfortable out there. And I was kind of disappointed with how we played that sequence. I really wish we kind of kept it a little bit more aggressive, because I think it would have, if they had not scored on each possession like they had, I think they would have kind of, you know, packed it in later in the game instead of taking some unnecessary hits on the quarterback that, you know, VT was trying to pull the ball out late and things like that. So, yeah, overall, like, it was an awesome performance. It's exactly what we, or at least what I was saying, would happen with Brandon Armstrong, where you finally get that efficiency of the run game, the pass, everything kind of coming together. And a lot of playmakers worked out and kind of showed up. And the other thing I was going to say is it felt like it was one of Anai's best games that he called. There were, like, plays on plays, and everything really looked in rhythm. So, I mean, it's ideal outcome for the offense, pending everyone's health.
Yeah. I mean, the health is the biggest question. At the end of the game, that was really an odd couple series there, but in particular how they decided to kneel. It did cost Brandon Armstrong his 100-yard rushing game, but overall, man, like, I thought Brandon Armstrong played fantastic. They didn't ask him to do too much, but what they asked him to do, he really executed. The pass, I think the most impressive to me was the seam pass to KC. I believe it was KC, the score.
Yeah.
It was a rope right on him, you know, put him in space, but it was kind of right between three defenders. And that's kind of what I expect from him. And that's kind of what I expect from this offense. But if he's plays under control like that, then this team is a much better, much more balanced team and a much harder to defend team. And I think that's what's so exciting.
Yeah, you know what I thought was really cool about that play too was, one, it was clutch at the end of the half. But it was really cool just seeing like KC's body control and ability to just like instantly shift directions. Probably makes that a touchdown. I think probably any other receiver on the team catches that, probably gets tackled by one of the two defenders that were around him. So, I mean, it was one of those moments where you watch it and you go, oh, that's what it looks like when you have like a really special talent at wide receiver. I mean, it's been so long since we've seen someone just move like that, in my opinion. So I just thought that was like doubly cool. And like, again, it was perfect. It was one of those, we're getting the ball at the end of the half or at the start of the third quarter. So, and then they went and scored on that drive too. So, I mean, it was just really great to see everything kind of just hitting full cylinder with the team.
Yeah. KC's 92 yards from having 1,000 from scrimmage.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. 92 wow. yards. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's from scrimmage. Okay.
Yeah. Rushing and receiving. Right.
Yeah. He's, even more he does impressive.
A bit of everything, even through a touchdown pass. It's great. Great to see.
It was like Thayer Thomas just took over his body for a minute.
All right. I love it. I love all the old ex players when they start chirping about, you know, especially Carolina week, but just in general about how good he is. It's wild. Amezi was on Twitter talking about him, and Thayer and Kelvin Harmon and a bunch of guys on there. Just, I don't know. I like it. I hope Brendan Armstrong is not hurt too bad. He was clearly dinged up at the end of the game. Dave came out and said he would play. I think Brendan talked today. I hadn't listened to the interview yet. This Tuesday afternoon at this point. But yeah, like, I don't know where they go if Brendan Armstrong is not able to play. Ethan Rhodes? I mean,
I think Lex Thomas is hurt too, supposedly.
Yeah, he was warming up. There's some photos of him warming up.
LT?
In Blacksburg.
Okay. All right. So maybe it's not as bad. I thought someone said he was injured, but I think what would happen, right?
He was throwing. That's all I know.
I don't know anything about Ethan Rhodes. I have not seen him in that one mop-up duty. I think he had a VMI. So I would assume we'd probably just go Wildcat, KC, Raphael. Like, I mean, are we really bringing in a walk-on quarterback? I mean, I guess it is UNC, so maybe it would work.
I think they just go Wildcat.
Turn to MJ at that point and say, would you like a redemption moment? Would you like to go into the portal and recover the slander you've caused yourself at this time? Is he going to be on the sideline? Like, I'd really love to see how that plays out, right? If Brennan's got like a bruised rib or you know, a fracture, whatever. Something's going on, or at least he did not look 100% leaving that game. So if something happened to him, I would just love to see them pan the camera to MJ Morris and him doing one of these things where he's holding the thing,
yeah,
joking around, and then he sees that and he's just like, and just walks into the locker room.
I'm out.
No, ma'am. No, my parents won't let me play.
What would the environment be like? It's going to be insane. A night game. Carolina comes to town, 8 o'clock. Both teams are 8-3. It is going to be insane. What would the environment be if MJ comes in the game? Like, people are going to be confused, like booing, but they're happy, but they're booing. Like, I bet
MJ would run harder than he's ever run in his life. I bet he would. I mean, here's the thing. You know, what's funny is if you go back and watch that Miami game on a couple of the runs he did, he definitely was trying to draw contact and was running harder than he had in previous days. He was not like just looking to slide or get out of bounds. So I think there must have been something going on in his head. He was like, I got to leave an impression if this is my last game. And I wonder, I mean, if something crazy like that happened, I mean, that's the first thing you do, because you just say, how dedicated are you to this? Man, it sucks because, like, honestly, of all the teams that we were playing in this last sequence, UNC's defense is the one where I would trust MJ to do fine. There's really nothing special there. It's not on the road, right? It's a home environment. It's probably the worst of the defenses.
Let's hold up on that. There's some other things I want to get to before we get to Carolina.
Sorry, the wine is talking.
Oh, yeah, no. Wine and cheese pod. Will's already engaged.
I made Evan, one, pull this up early so we could record. and then two, made him wait so I could get wine.
Yeah, and then we have a 4 p.m. deadline, so I'm trying to get through this and get through everything without. Yeah.
We'll do an emergency pod on Friday. It'll be fine.
One of the outcomes of that game and of this week that we've, one of the things we've heard about is Michael Allen has hit the portal. He won't be the first. He's obviously not the first, but he won't be the last. I don't know why I wrote he won't be the first. It's weird. Why don't you just wait a week? Why are you doing it now unless you're just letting everybody know you're in the portal? I mean, it's strange.
I'm guessing
him to go to ECU or something or back where he's from, Greenville.
Yeah.
Go back home.
I assume he just wasn't playing this game anyways.
I mean, must have been. I mean, I think he was hurt in the Miami game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, nowhere to be found in this game for whatever reason. 4-star running back. You know, he was number 2 in the state behind Omarion Hampton, who is at Carolina and seems to be a lot better than Michael Allen.
He very
good. You know, we've said on this pod, I said it on this pod when Michael Allen recruited or was committed, that I didn't see it as a running back. He just runs so strange. He's like a little shuffle step. He doesn't look like dynamic. He's definitely fast, right? He's got all the track things going on and he's, you know, all the track records and whatnot. So he could move in a straight line, but I didn't see it as a running back. And I was hoping to be proven wrong, but it just, and he showed flashes because he's got the speed, but it's just a weird way of running. And I don't know if that's part of it, but you know, the part of it is that he was good block. So
I think he wasn't going to get on the field. That was the bigger problem, right?
I don't know. He couldn't make anybody miss. If they were running tall sweeps to him or whatever, I feel good. But or swing passes and whatnot, that's fine. But I don't think he felt like he didn't have much success to anything else.
Yeah. I wonder if I remember correctly, he had a knee injury senior year.
Correct.
Right. And I wonder if maybe that just took the little bit of mobility that he had and just really ruined it. I don't know. It's funny because, right, he had a couple games last year where he kind of popped and you're like, oh, hey, we got something here. It's always just confusing to me when the running back just can't block, like, at all. Like, I don't think it's that hard. Hold on.
Will's dog's barking.
Yeah. There's vacuuming going on. I think my wife is annoyed that I chose to podcast instead of fix something.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, I mean, it's just whatever. I think someone said he probably has to have shoulder surgery or something like that. So I really don't think he was playing, or maybe if he was going to be available, it was going to be super emergency duty. But, you know, we got to clear out space. It's so annoying now at the end of the year. Jordan Houston and him, the same position, losing multiple guys due to at least one due to choice and second probably injury and choice is just goes back to us kind of saying like we really should have been able to navigate the roster a little bit better in the offseason, and maybe this going forward isn't going to be a big deal because of the 25K thing, but there's just a few spots where it's like you just want to get rid of the dead weight because like these guys quitting in the middle of the year or at the end of the year is not helping anybody.
Yeah, and let's be real for everybody that is there's going to be a lot of turnover this year. You know, we've talked about before they're ending the guaranteed money, which is good because they need to get a lot of the dead weight out. And I'm not saying Michael Allen was dead weight, but I don't know if he showed up to his potential yet. They definitely need to bring in some running backs. I think they need to bring in a portal running back. I know they're targeting the 4-star that committed to Michigan State, and he's officially visited here and whatnot. So maybe they bring in some talent there, but I think they need a more developed running back for next year. And the portal stuff's going to be wild, man. It's going to be a lot of turnover. One of the other things that is, I don't want to say potentially turning over, but after this game, Football Scoop put out an article that Dave had talked to Michigan State. Everybody kind of got up in arms, and my whole thing was, you know, my stance on it was you should expect it. Dave has, you know, the David Hale tweet that came out said NC State's one of four teams that have won 8 games the last 4 years. It's Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and NC State. Kind of surreal. And I get the COVID year. People didn't play full games. Maybe it wasn't Ohio State. There was four teams, whoever they were. And if you're in a program like Michigan State, who's all over the place and needs some kind of stability, you look at what Dave has been able to do and, you know, you talk to him. And I don't take any – he deserved it. I expect it. I expect Dave to make those calls and or to listen to those calls and see what their offer is, see what their pitches are. I don't think Dave is taking another job. And we've said it before. I think Dave's more likely to retire early than take on the job. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's the year after when, you know, Woodson's retiring too. He doesn't have a new boss, all that stuff. I'm not surprised that Dave's getting phone calls, right? I don't think anybody should be. And I love the people who try to argue with me. Well, Dave not talking to anybody. Maybe his agent is. Who gives a crap? You're talking semantics. It's some dumb social media nonsense. That's how that conversation goes. But
those agents represent you.
Yeah. The broader point is Dave's done a good job and I expect him to get inquiries from other places. I wouldn't be surprised if Mississippi State calls him too. I don't think he's a fit for that job, more of a fit for Michigan State, but I guess the follow-up, Michigan State did follow-up interviews and Dave was not one of them. I think that's fine. I don't know if that was his choice or their choice or whatever, but that's, you know, I expect Dave to get phone calls and I expect his name to be mentioned for other jobs. I think everybody should. So, you know, he's got NC State to a place where, and that was a pretty interesting fact, no matter where, what happens on Saturday, NC State's going to finish third in the ACC behind Louisville and Florida State with either right now they are in sole third, or if they lose to Carolina, then they will be in a tie for third. Regardless, third place. Now, I do want that Louisville game back, and there's a lot of what-ifs and whatever, but given the amount of drama this year, third place seems pretty good for a team that a lot of people, including myself, didn't think we would win another game after that Duke game, right? Are you happy with third place?
Yeah, I mean, I know what happened, right? Like, in the end, everyone points to that Louisville game, but I feel like they just have blinders on and forget that the offensive line was soup that game. Again, the Duke game is the one I wish we had back. Just because I think if you had Brendan Armstrong that game, that it's a completely different scenario. But yeah, I mean, everyone should be happy. We were predicted to be 6.5 wins and right. And for the over unders. And after the first few games of the season, we were all kind of like, oh, okay, we may have a problem here. And so it's great to see how we turned it around. And yeah, I'm fine with it. Just stuff happens, right? Like, we didn't have as easy of a schedule as Louisville did. And there's a reason everyone was saying preseason that those guys were favored, even though everyone thought they were, paper cardinals or whatever you want to call them. right? And, I don't know. It would be great to be going into a championship game against FSU without Jordan Travis. So, right. You know, I mean, of course, it's probably going to work out even better for Louisville because of that.
Yeah, agreed. One of the questions we got, and this kind of ties back to Michael Allen and the whole Dave thing. Is this the craziest year you remember, drama-wise? Starters quitting midseason, et cetera. And is that only going to get worse across college football?
Yeah, I mean, with the quitting or the jumping into the portal, sure, but... I'm sorry. Can you hear this vacuuming?
No, you're fine.
Okay. It's like in my ear. So, I don't know. I feel like last year was actually just more drama with all the quarterbacks and the injuries and the state of what was going on with the program, thinking we were going to be challenging for some sort of championship. So I don't know. This drama doesn't seem, it would be worse if I guess MJ Morris was the starting quarterback, so never mind.
Starting quarterback and starting running back. And then your second starting running back.
Well,
they all left.
We're all redshirting. Somehow those guys were starting running backs yet not better than the fourth string running back. So
not better than the quarterback who's the running back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the thing, actually. I would have been really interested to see Jordan Houston the last few weeks now with all the running attack going on. I feel like this would have opened things up for him to have some really successful runs on his own. So, but in the end, I don't fault him. I get it. At the time, he was, you know, just being used to block, and I would have been frustrated too and said, this is not what I signed up for or what you told me. So I get it. Yeah, I don't know.
It's only going to get worse depending on your perspective. And it is the craziest season that I can ever remember. And
well, what in would terms be worse than this?
Roller coaster. Will it be worse than this? I don't know.
Yeah, you like you said, it's going to get worse.
Oh, just more. I think it's going to happen more frequently, more often. We haven't seen, at least I haven't seen a ton of players around the country enter the portal mid-season yet. Usually they get hurt and they, you know, bounce or something like that. But we've had Jordan, MJ, and now Michael Allen leave mid-season. That's really weird. And I don't think that's normal. I don't think that trend will continue. I hope it doesn't.
I still feel like Clemson was like that leading indicator with Kelly Bryant. And I bet it's more still just going to be kind of a rare thing because, frankly, I think there's going to be a lot of – I think there's blowback to it, right? And then, again, like if MJ Morris goes down a level or goes to Vanderbilt or somewhere like that, right? I don't know. I think people are going to be like, oh, that's not quite how I thought that was going to play out. I mean, the reality is, right, is Brennan Armstrong is a better quarterback than MJ Morris. Like, we got the games. We saw it. We saw his limitations at this current state that he's at. So, you know, like, there's a reason Brennan Armstrong really won that, and it was, like, not close per multiple people, right? And so I just wonder if we factored in like that and we go, oh, well, this was a guy who really was the backup quarterback, got tossed in, really wants to save this eligibility. It makes more sense. It's just the interesting thing would have been what would have happened if Brennan Armstrong had played all season. Would MJ have stuck around? Would he have left? Would the staff had stuck with him? I don't know.
If he hadn't played, the legacy of MJ Morris would be astronomical. Everybody would think he's, we kind of know what he is now, but everybody would believe that he is God tier if he hadn't played. Be the legend of the backup quarterback. I don't know. It's going to be at some point they're going to have to address this kind of thing. I don't know how they do it, but yeah, it's only going to get kind of wilder, so to speak. The other thing I had written down is people got upset with my Peyton Wilson for Heisman tweet. I mean,
oh my God, I couldn't believe that.
I was obviously joking, but I'm kind of not joking. There's no real standout to the Heisman. I know the Heisman goes to the offensive player. My broader point was that NC State should be doing more to raise Peyton Wilson's profile. He should be top of mind when people start talking about outstanding players. And I keep hearing about like the Iowa kid who got hurt and some of these other kids that we've talked about before. It just doesn't, to me, do what he's done justice. And I think we should be more obnoxious about spouting how good he has been, how good he is as a player. That's what I was getting at, right? People are like, he, an offensive player or defensive players never win the ball. He's not as good as Cedric Gray. And then, I mean, I got a bazillion different responses to that. And like, people, you're missing the point. And the point was, let's talk about him some more. This goes back to my point the other day when we were talking about being ranked and people are, you know, I don't want to be ranked. You know, I don't like being ranked and you're whatever. Yeah, if you're ranked, people talk about you, right? They talk about your best players. That's just how this thing works. And you need to be ranked more often so that they do talk about you. We don't get it. We don't get enough of that. Like, I've listened to a lot of college football podcasts, and nobody really mentioned our win over Miami. Nobody really mentioned the win over Virginia Tech. Nobody really mentioned you won four in a row, you know. And you're actually playing better. You look like a real team. Every once in a while you get a KC mention, but Peyton Wilson is underappreciated nationally, and I think they need to push more. His numbers are astounding. and he's still got a game to go, right? The response about Cedric Gray the other day was, hey, Cedric Gray had better numbers. He played 14 games that year. Peyton Wilson's played 11 so far. It's still going. You know, let's take a minute to appreciate that. And I just want them to be more obnoxious about how good he is. Like, put more content out about Peyton Wilson. You know, send whatever you send to your media and say, hey, mention Peyton Wilson because he's phenomenal. And he should be in a lot of these conversations. You know, if you mention top 20 players, he's got to be close to that, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Just for reference for the Cedric Gray lovers, he had 145 tackles last year, 12 for loss, 1 sack, 2 interceptions, and 6 passes defended and 2 fumbles recovered. Now, I'd like to go compare that to Peyton Wilson this year. Research on the fly. I'm sure people love this. So Peyton Wilson this year in 11 games, 123 tackles, 15.5 for loss, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 6 passes defended, 2 fumbles recovered. I feel like it's kind of obvious who's having a better year.
Yeah, it's silly.
It's our guy.
Don't take things so serious, people. People can think so literally.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the responses as soon as you posted that, I was like, oh, here it comes. Someone's going to have a problem with this.
Well, the reason I posted it and pointed it out because people are talking about Jaden Daniels, right? LSU quarterback, having a great year. Numbers are great. And they're 8-3. So talking about him winning the Heisman, I was like, hey, we're 8-3, which is phenomenal in itself, all things considered. But why aren't they talking about Peyton Wilson? Although Brett McMurphy just posted that he is a finalist for the Butkus Award. So that's at least there's something there. But if he loses out to Jeremiah Trotter at Clemson, I'm going to go berserk.
I mean, knowing Peyton Wilson, he'll play in the bowl game too. Like, I don't think he should, but
that would be interesting.
I feel like anyone that's watched here, I mean, watch the game this weekend. You'll see them both on the field, and I bet one is going to become more obvious than the other with his play. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Cedric Gray has played the same amount of games this year, and he's got 104 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 1 interception this year, and 2 fumbles recovered. So, like, again, it's kind of like they're side by side. One's on a shitty defense where it's easy to be the best tackler when no one else is tackling people. Can you say the same about ours? Anyways.
Yeah. Plane tracking season. One of the Mississippi State planes was tracked to RDU this morning and back to Starkville. It's my favorite time of year. I love plane tracking season. I assume it's Mike Elko being targeted for the Mississippi State job. I assume Elko will not be at Duke next year, considering Michigan State probably wants him to or is looking at him, and there's a plethora of other jobs that will be open.
Oh, he's about to get an 8-year extension at Duke and Cutcliffe his way into the future. Why would you want to go to any of those jobs? Just go get the pay raise at the easy place.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
He strikes me exactly as that kind of person to be like, oh, you know what's cool? Not working as hard.
I don't think so, man. I think that's like Jim Grobe took that. Cutcliffe took that way. I think Grobe regretted it. Cutcliffe probably did not. But I don't know if Elko is that. He's still young.
He's still young. But what I'm saying is, like, why stress yourself out to go to a middle-of-the-road SEC program or a middle-of-the-road Big Ten program, where now you have even more teams you have to face off against versus sitting at Duke or any ACC school, right? Where it's like, okay, yeah, I got a Clemson or an FSU, but then everyone else, like talent wise, is like a lot closer to the pack. So it's easier for me to maintain this. The expectations are low. I can easily raise the standard here. You know, they've got something to recruit there with the education angle. So yeah, I mean, I think it is easier to coach at Duke than it is at any of those programs, because there will be expectations at both. And especially if you go to Michigan State, you know it's a cluster up there. And maybe he doesn't want to work with a future UNC AD up there.
Maybe.
Yeah, they need AD, I think it's too. President. That's president, interviewing correct. Up there. I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. All right. I know you got here on the time.
Should we talk about this game?
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to talk about the Carolina game. Yeah. Carolina, I've watched them plenty this year. Their offense can still score. They are still soft. It's kind of a typical Carolina team. I don't feel great about this game from our side. Again, part of that is our inconsistency, and I'm still not sure, you know, how we're going to show up. I still wasn't sure in Blacksburg. If we get the same sort of offensive performance, I feel pretty good, but I don't know. We hadn't seen that ever, so I don't know how to expect that this coming weekend. And Amarian Hampton, he's a Sunday player. I think State's going to make him run inside the tackles, but he's a guy that is really, really good, and he's 300 yards shy of a Carolina single-season record. I mean, the kid's fantastic. You have to contain him and then make May beat you. And, you know, May's been a bit schizophrenic there controlling the ball, but what's your pulse? You listen to the Inside Carolina podcast. What are you, what's your take on this game?
Well, they consider themselves a great team this year, which is hilarious. A great defense is what they said at one point. This is a really good defense, yet they're 64th in scoring defense and bad in a lot of categories. I would say I'm just like taking a quick gander here. Wake Forest and UNC 64th and 67th in scoring defense. I think Virginia Tech was a little bit ahead of them just for reference before we played them. And yeah, they still are 58th. So that's the company that you're in. So, I mean, what it really comes down to is they have three players, Drake May, Amarian Hampton, and Tez Walker. And then they've got some supporting cast that benefit from them. And so if you can eliminate one of the three, you got a puncher's chance. And, you know, we've seen weird shit happen in this rivalry all the time. You know, UNC, I saw that they were upset about the flag on the midfield thing last year. So I expect some chippy crap before the game. You know, I think you just kind of every year, right? You throw out the records. It's going to be a weird close game, most likely. But if you see the offense we had last week and the defense that we had for three quarters before giving in, I would take us in like a landslide in that environment. Road game, night, they're beatable on the road. I think they're coming after Clemson, gut punch of a game. It's going to be real interesting. Amarian Hampton didn't fumble all year. He had like 200-plus carries. Fumbled twice against Clemson, and they were backbreakers. So it's going to be real curious to see if that's in his head. Just bother Drake May. The only thing I would say is this team kind of reminds me of the offense that they had with Howell and is it Williams and
Carter,
De'Ami Brown. But they had Carter too. That was the other thing, is they had that fourth guy, right? The two running backs. So it's like one would show up when the other wasn't there. So I think it's up to the fans. My wife told me she would not support driving down to the game for a late night cold game after holidays. So I probably can't convince her to let me go. But, Tony Gibson immediately said that they need, I think he was tweeting it, that they need us to be loud this game. And so I'm sure, I don't know if they've done that any other time this year. So my guess is they also see this offense as pretty formidable. And it's just a matter of, I don't know, man, Duke's third string quarterback took them to double overtime, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not good. App State nearly beat them. They lost to Georgia Tech. They lost to UVA. Like, the script is out there. The slightly better defenses that they have played have overcome a lot of crap and easily controlled them. And they are allergic to mobile quarterbacks. So if Brennan Armstrong is healthy, like, you're going to see him running a lot. And you're going to see, as the game progresses, that they're going to start falling off on defense and letting up some big plays. So I don't know, man. It's just going to be hold on to your butts.
This game is always hold on to your butts. It's always something ridiculous going to happen. I mean, we saw what happened 2 years ago in Carter Finley. And something I'll never forget being on the sideline for that game was, or for the end of that game especially, was unreal. But, you know, last year we were 6.5-point dogs. This year we're a 3-point dog at home. Year before that, six point dog or 6-point favorite, it looks like. 15 before that. Like, State has done pretty well against Carolina in recent years. And I still go into this game not knowing what to expect. And Carolina's always got a lot of talent. I think the teams are always pretty evenly matched. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to expect. I kind of know what they're going to do, and I know what they want to do, and I know how State's going to do it. It's just a lot of unknowns in this game. Like, being at home and in that environment is going to be, it's going to be absolutely insane. It's funny that all the coaches are out there tweeting, "Oh, we're going to need you. We're going to need you." Like, the secondary market for tickets is completely gone. It's hard to find them.
I think they're just nervous about the student section post-Thanksgiving, right? But you know what? The student sections were there on the Black Friday games, if I remember. So, right. Like, I think it'll be okay. But I get what they're saying, right? Like, it's obviously very different when it's loud. And you just saw UNC kind of collapse on the road at a loud stadium, and you want the same thing. So,
over under 55.5. Carolina opened at a 1.5-point favorite. Now the line has moved to 3. That's interesting to me.
I wonder if people are probably pricing in Armstrong or something. That's the only thing I could think.
Michael Allen bump.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I know you got to get out of here, so we will get going, even though this is my favorite week to talk football because there are so many matchups and Will is killing my vibe here. But,
well, look, yeah. I got really early golf on Friday, 7 in the morning. I'm sure it's going to be frost delayed. Maybe I can call in from the course and we do a pod or
there we go.
You know, when everyone's passed out from leftovers Friday afternoon, we'll hop on and give a quick rip at it.
Yeah, we've got the Apple Cup, the Egg Bowl, Civil War. It's not called the Civil War anymore. I was informed, unfortunately.
Oh, what's it called now?
Just the rivalry game. Texas Tech for the Big 12 championship game. Kentucky Louisville. UConn UMass should be a barn burner. I'm just going through this list. Like, there's a ton of good games. This is the best week. This is the best week in football. Next week, the championship games are mostly irrelevant. This week, there's still a lot on the line. And there's just a lot of good games here. A lot of good games. Anyway, I know I got to get to your 4 o'clock call. I'll let you get out of here. But as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. Join the pod chat. And we will try to get another one out later this week if our schedules allow it. But as always, go Pack. Go to Hell Carolina.
Amen. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. 8:34.